Well, good morning again. You know, it's kind of a confusing time of year, and I never know if this is the time that we still say Merry Christmas, or can you start saying Happy New Year? We could say both, I guess. The place of the world where we lived for a long time during the holiday season, you could say Xin Nian Hao, which, you know, Happy New Year all through the whole week of the holidays. So it was nice to be able to do that. But in the States, we're still trying to figure that out. For those of you that maybe are unfamiliar with who I am, my name is Pastor Rob, and together with a tremendous team of people, I serve in the Global Ministries Department here at Heritage, and we get to care for those that are sent out from our church to places around the world to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Not only are we able to care for those that are sent out, but we are also blessed to be a part of training up and equipping those that also want to go into a cross-cultural context to proclaim the good news of Jesus and to make disciples of all nations. I also am somebody who loves Jesus desperately. And I hope that many of you here today are the same, that you love Jesus with all of your heart. Just to sing that song, "My Chains Fell Off." How amazing it is what Jesus has done for us. And I am so thankful, not only for what Jesus has done for us, but I'm thankful for his word, the Bible. And I am also a huge fan of the stories, the narratives that are found in Scripture. And some of you that know me personally know that I love these stories, and I love what God reveals to us about his character in the stories of the Bible. So you can imagine, whenever I'm given the opportunity to preach, and I'm not given any particular passage that I have to preach from, I'm going to choose from my loves. I'm going to choose from my love of Jesus. So I'm going to preach something that has to do with Jesus. And I'm also going to choose a story from Scripture. And over the last few times that I've had the opportunity to preach at Heritage, I have sought to anchor myself in the Gospel of John. John records seven stories about Jesus in his gospel. And John could have chosen from any myriad of events in Jesus' life, but he had a very special aim when he wrote his gospel. And so he chose these seven stories, these signs in his gospel. Billboards, if you will, bright lights, big bold colors, seemingly unmistakable to anybody that would hesitate for a moment and stop and take a glance. But just like Times Square, there is a competition for our attention, right? It's real. And we need to focus our attention on what God is declaring to us. And because these signs that John tells us about are essential for every human being to see, to understand, and believe, we want to take some time this morning and look at those signs of John. In fact, John, the gospel writer, writes this in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. He says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." You see, John had no hidden agenda in his gospel, and I have no hidden agenda today. I want you to look on the signs that Jesus did to understand what he was revealing about himself and put your trust in Jesus. Pretty plain, pretty simple. In fact, I'm a pretty plain and a pretty simple kind of guy. What you see is what you get. And likewise, today, together, let's hear another one of John's signs and see Jesus revealed. In fact, it's been my prayer all this week as I've prepared that you would get Jesus, that you would put your trust in him alone, not adding anything to what God has provided, and likewise, not forsaking anything that he has called you to be in Jesus. I think I've been really blessed these last few weeks as Pastor Nathan has told us about the angels, right? The angels that declared Jesus' birth. And if you remember, he said they were, you know, like precious moments, little angels, right? Not at all. He's helped us to see that the angels were actually warrior angels. And as they came in Luke chapter 2 and declared with praise, it was a battle cry of praise. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The might of heaven was on full display, giving glory to the most powerful one in the universe. That display, if you remember, caused the shepherds to tremble, to shake in fear. But those angels were only proclaiming about God's work. Today's story puts the work of God on full display. I hope as we see it, we too tremble at what we are beholding. It is amazing. Before I tell you the story, let me give you a little bit of the context to the story so that you can kind of catch up to where we are in the book of John. Before this story, Jesus, in John's gospel, he has already taken 180 gallons of water and turned them into wine. Just like that. A Roman official comes to Jesus because his son is ill, and Jesus speaks a word. And miles and miles and miles away, that son is healed. Jesus comes to a man who for 38 years has been a cripple. And with just a word, Jesus heals him. Then Jesus takes 5 barley loaves and he breaks them together with 2 fishes. And he feeds 5,000 men, not to mention all the women and the children that were present. Following that, Jesus then takes a walk, a stroll for several miles on stormy waves to right on top of the water to his disciples in a boat. These are the 5 signs that John tells us before the story today. And after Jesus does these 5 signs, he gets in this wrangling with a group of the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders. And that culminates with Christ making this remarkable statement to his deity. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." He was stating, not only did he exist before Abraham, Jesus used the very terminology that God used in the burning bush when he talked to Moses in Exodus 3, verse 14. It was with remarkable clarity that Jesus' statement, the Pharisees knew exactly what he was saying. And they knew so well that they picked up stones and they were going to stone Jesus. But Jesus himself hid and then left the temple. Well, that's all the context around the story today. So that's all that's leading up to today. And now, as our story begins, Jesus and his disciples are going along. And if you've storied with me before, if you've been here when I've told a story before, you'll know that I like to do something that's a little bit unorthodox at Heritage. And I already see many of you have your devices out and your Bibles open. I'm going to ask you, as we listen to the story for the first time, to just close your Bibles. Put away your devices and focus your attention to listen to the story. I'm going to tell the story as it's recorded in John chapter 9. I'm going to make one small variation. I'm going to take the pronouns and I'm going to use the proper names just because with oral telling, it gives a little bit more clarity. But I want you to put yourself in the place of being there with Jesus on the road. Listen to what happens. And then after I tell the story, we can go back, we can open our Bibles and our devices, and you can check and make sure. Typically, you also know when I story, I like to memorize a story. I like to get it into my heart. But this story is a little bit longer. At 41 verses, it was a little bit of a too big of a chunk for me to memorize over the Christmas holiday. So I hope you'll bear with me. But I'm still going to tell the story, and you can still engage with the story together. Yet before we do, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is your word. You have preserved it for us, that we might see and know and understand who you are. Jesus, I thank you so much that you put on display your very character. Would you help us today? Would you send your Holy Spirit? Would you illuminate our hearts, our minds, our understandings? Would you quicken our wills that we might put our trust in you? God, I pray that you would be glorified even as we hear your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, the Bible records, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It's not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world." And having said these things, Jesus spit on the ground and made mud with saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud. And he said to the man, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors who had seen the man before as a beggar were saying, Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "Yeah, it is he." Others said, No, but he is like him." The man kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" The man answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" The man said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked the man how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "Jesus put mud on my eyes, I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. So the Pharisees said again to the man, to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" The man said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that man had been born blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked him, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So, for a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." The man answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" The man answered, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to also become his disciples?" They reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "This is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never, never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered the man, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast the man out, and having found him, Jesus said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to the man, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." The man said, "Lord, I believe." And the man worshiped Jesus. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now you say, 'We see.' Your guilt remains." Well, that is the story that is recorded for us in God's Word, the Bible. And any time that we look at narrative in Scripture, there are some very simple tools that we can use to help us discover the truths that God has reserved for us, the treasures, if you will, in His Word. And if you recall from the last time that we storied together, I call these tools, or these tools, not I call them, other people call them, the six C's. And of course, then there's one big C on that. The six C's are pretty simple. They're circumstance, where you look at what is the problem or the situation that's being presented in the story. You look at the characters, who's involved in the story, and then what do we learn about them? And in every story, we know in the Bible that God is the chief character. Then we can also look at conversations. What do people say, and what is being revealed about them by what they say? We can look at the conduct. What do people do, and what do their actions reveal? We can look at the choices they make, both intentional choices and unintentional choices, because anytime you make a choice, you're also making a choice not to do something. And then you can look at the consequences. What is the immediate impact or repercussions of the choices that are made? And then after we look at those six C's, then we want to look at the one big C. What do each of these things reveal about their character? And of course, there is no way in this brief time that we have this morning to look at all of these six C's in real thorough nature. But the beauty of these six C's is that you can go and at home continue to look at the stories and just walk through each one of these C's and discover the truths for yourself. But even better, you can do it with your family. You could do it with your friends. You could do it with your coworkers, with people that don't yet believe in Jesus. Tell them the story, walk through the C's with them, and observe. But this morning, we're going to try and grab just one or two observations from each one of the six C's and discover the treasures that are in God's Word and pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal God's character and our character to us. And then when we do that, we're going to then try and put some applications to our life today. A couple I will statements in our response to God's Word. So we start with the very first C. The first C is circumstance. And that just asks the question, what is the problem? What is the situation that's being presented in Scripture? And it's pretty obvious, right? There's one big main problem. There's a guy who was born blind. Yep. So, pretty simple. We got a man, he's born blind. That's a pretty big situation, pretty serious problem that needs to be solved. The second C then encourages us to look at all of the characters that are in this story. So we're going to do this together. I want you to make sure you're not asleep. So go ahead and call out to me all of the characters that you heard in this story. Jesus, of course, the Sunday school answer. Great. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, the Jews. Yep. The blind man. Yes. His parents. Yes. One more? The disciples, yes, yeah, they were right there with Jesus. Anyone else? The crowds, yes, his neighbors, all the people that used to see him beg. And then, of course, we have God the Father as the main character in the story. Well, from there, we have circumstances, we have the characters, and then we can begin to look at the third C, the conversations that happen in this story. What are the people saying? And what is revealed about the people by what they say? And indeed, this is a mammoth story, right? 41 verses. There are 8 distinct conversation threads throughout this story. So we're not going to be able to look at all of them. But let's go ahead and look at the very first one. The first conversation thread goes like this. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" If you haven't done it already, you can open up your Bibles and follow along. Jesus answered, "It's not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So the Bible tells us that Jesus was passing by. And it is Jesus who saw the man. Now, whether he stopped and actually engaged the man, or maybe he just noticed the man, either way, we know that the disciples saw this. And man, they had a burning question, right? They wanted to ask Jesus. And the question that they ask reveals what was important for the disciples. They wanted to know what? The cause of the blindness. The how. What caused this man to be burdened with this kind of suffering? That was the important question for the disciples. Inquiring minds want to know, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or the parents, that he was born blind?" Yikes. Kind of like look into that situation, and I can't help but want to take a little side rabbit trail for a moment. Because I think as a parent, I am able to identify a little bit with Jesus in this moment, right? Some of you that are parents, you've been in this situation. You've been, you know, at the grocery store, in the checkout line with your cart, you know, and your beautiful child is sitting there in the cart, the one that you loved and nurtured, and you have taught them everything that is good and right, And in that moment, you notice your child is staring at the person behind you. And before you can do anything to distract them or to move them move away, they blurt out something like, "Daddy, why does that lady smell so bad?" And then, if that was not enough, they attempt some of the wonders of causality that you have so masterfully taught them. Is it because she didn't take a bath like her mommy told her? And it's at this point that you kind of make eye contact with the said smelly lady. And your mind is running down two parallel tracks. On one side, you are filled with pride. Finally, your child has made the logical connection between lack of bathing and its natural consequences. Right? But there on the other track, you are praying, "Oh, what would Jesus do?" And you're hoping that he sends some messenger, some spokesperson like Aaron, who's going to help you get out of this bind. Right? The disciples had finally figured it out. Sin equals brokenness. Brokenness equals suffering. So Jesus, who caused this little mess right here? Never mind that the blind man is standing right there. Yet Jesus' response reveals so much about his character, about what is important to him. Jesus answered, "It's not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." No, boys, the cause is not important here. Yes, sin brought brokenness and pain and suffering on God's good creation. But Jesus' focus is on the purpose, on the glory that God wants to display in the midst of pain, in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of suffering. Glory that Jesus would display in absolute obedience to his Father, right? What does he say? We must work the works of him who sent me. There's no choice. Jesus is going to obey the Father. And Jesus' words not only reveal God's purpose to put on display his glory in suffering, but that Jesus himself believed that he was the light of the world. It is Jesus who makes it day. Without Jesus, night falls, right? And nobody can do work. Well, not only can we look at circumstance and characters and conversations, we can also look at the conduct. What are people doing and what do their actions reveal? There is so much that people do in this story, and we only have time to make one or two quick observations. So let's go ahead and look at the first one. Having said these things, Jesus spit on the ground and made mud with saliva, and he anointed the man's eyes with the mud. Jesus' conduct, what he does, reveals something about his character. Jesus was willing to challenge the religious leaders. A while back, I told a story out of John chapter 5 when Jesus healed the crippled man, a man that had been crippled for 38 years. That one actually also happened on the Sabbath. But when Jesus healed that man, it was just a word from his lips and the man was healed. But because that healing happened on the Sabbath, man, there was no small commotion because Jesus broke the Sabbath rule. Not the real Sabbath rule, but the rule that these Pharisees had made and added to God's word. And now, here in this story, Jesus' actions reveal that he's willing to push that even farther. In fact, to push those Pharisees right over the edge. To clearly show that God is the one that defines healing as part of Sabbath rest. Not something that is constrained by man-made constraints. Jesus makes mud with his saliva. Jesus amalgamates. He combines a solid and a liquid together to form a paste, a dough-like substance that was in thorough and complete violation of rule number 10 of 39. You know that one, right? Rule number 10 of 39 in the rules of activities prohibited on the Sabbath. Rules that are not found in Scripture, but were interpreted and delineated by the religious leaders. Rules that they used to put a guard around the Sabbath so you didn't inadvertently break the Sabbath. And Jesus's conduct, his what he does is so particular that it becomes a key detail in the testimony of the man that is born blind from birth. Three times throughout the story, the Bible highlights it. The man proclaims to his neighbors, right? Jesus made mud. And then when the group brings him to the Pharisees, it says, now it was a Sabbath day, and Jesus made mud. And then during that first interrogation by the Pharisees, the man testifies, Jesus put mud on my eyes. I washed and I see. Well, we can use the next C, choices, to get a better grasp on the emphasis that this story brings here. Because choices are both intentional and unintentional. Each time we make a choice, we are choosing not to do something else. And Jesus chose to use a mud mixture to heal the man. The man could have chose not to return, right? He goes off to the Pool of Siloam. He could have just been like, oh, I see, I'm moving on. No more of my past life, but instead he returns. And the man, he chooses to tell everybody this detail about the mud. He knew full well what was happening there. He could have left out the details about Jesus making the mud. Well, you can step back even further and you could say, Jesus could have chosen not to make mud himself, right? He's healed people before with just a word. I mean, goodness, if you think about it, Jesus could have said, hey, bro, I'll be back tomorrow. Don't go anywhere. Today's the Sabbath. I can't really heal today, but I'll be back on the next day. He could have done that. I mean, what would be one more day for this man who spent his whole life in blindness? Yet these choices, character is revealed. Jesus reveals that he is above man's rules. Humans attempt to define the rules and systems that are going to please God. Jesus is the author. He's the one who knows what is right. He understands what is good. It is his word that can be trusted. It is his word that brings healing. And the man reveals that he trusts the one that healed him. It's an undeniable trust, is able to withstand and weather even all of the doubts of his neighbors, the forsaking of his parents, and then the punishment of the authorities. Yet before we look at the final C, the consequences, let me draw your attention to one more additional conduct and choice that Jesus makes, and then one more additional conduct and choice that the man makes. It might be the most important part of the story for us today. Because when the man is questioned by his neighbors, when he's left hanging by his parents, when he's cast out by the very people that God has charged to shepherd his people, Jesus' conduct and choice reveal something of infinite value about his character. Jesus heard that they cast the man out. And having found him, Jesus said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Jesus chose to seek out the man. And as he does so, Jesus reveals something of importance about his character. He shows us that it's not just some general faith that he wants us to have. No, he wants a very specific understanding and faith in who Jesus is. The man had already declared that Jesus was a prophet to the Pharisees, but Jesus is a prophet, and he's so much more. And having found him, Jesus said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" This is that same Son of Man that Pastor Nathan just last week called our attention to in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, where it says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." The Son of Man, the Christ, the begotten from the Father, sent to redeem and to reconcile people to God. The very fulfillment of all God's promises. God incarnate. Yet, unlike the leaders who just before this story, when they were confronted with Jesus' divine declaration of who he is, this man in the story makes a very different choice, doesn't he? And his choice and his conduct show us something. Jesus declares himself to be the Son of Man. And the man said, "Lord, I believe." And the man worshiped Jesus. Worshiped. This is the same word that is used to say worship God. Worship that Jesus himself reveals. He doesn't stop the man. He receives that worship. Worship that is reserved for the Creator, for the Savior. And as we close this morning, I think it's important that we bring this story into our lives today. Are there any areas where we are blind? May Jesus help us to see. I mean, today, are you or maybe someone you know, just like Jesus' disciples, you're prone to look for the cause of pain or brokenness or suffering, so much so you want to know why, that you neglect the purpose that God has in it. Do you need to lay down all your search for the answers and human understandings to the causality and instead seek the glory that God wants to display in your weakness? Perhaps you need to make the declaration with God's help, "I will trust you in my suffering. May your glory, God, be on full display through me." Maybe today you or someone you know are like the religious leaders. You have a tendency of making God into a God of your own making. Perhaps you're like the Pharisees, creating rules around rules around rules around rules to guard yourself and others. And in all your striving, you've actually added to Jesus. And in doing so, you're keeping Jesus from others who need him. You might be keeping Jesus from yourself. Only after all of your systems and your requirements are satisfied will God be pleased. Man, friends, if I can encourage you to search your heart on this one, because it is so, so subtle. Ask yourself, are you able to celebrate with a person whose testimony is only one thing I know? I was blind, but now I see. even while that person might still be putting together the details of who Jesus is and the gospel and salvation. And you come along them, side them, and gently journey with them in all that Christ commanded. Or do you play gatekeeper on heaven, declaring them an unfit sinner when they don't come to Jesus in your preferred system? You cast them out when they're still trying to get a handle on the new eyes that Jesus gave them. Perhaps you need to declare with the Spirit's help, I will look to Jesus more than my favorite books, more than my favorite teacher or my YouTube channel or the safe systems. I will more lovingly lead people to Jesus. And then finally today, are you or someone you know like the people in this story, needing to be confronted with who Jesus is? Have you seen the signs, the billboards that Jesus has put up that boldly declare that he is the Son of Man, the Christ, God in flesh, who invites you to place your full and complete trust in him for your forgiveness of sins, to be reconciled with God? Maybe you're here today and you're still trying to understand what that means. Man, don't wait. Today, declare, I will believe you, Jesus. And this is something that you still need to understand more about. There'll be some pastors down here at front, and they can tell you who Jesus is. They can tell you what he has done for you, how much he loves you. And Heritage Family, Jesus told the man born blind from birth, he said, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. The man was healed and sent to proclaim the healing that is found in Jesus. Likewise, we too, we have been blessed in Christ in order to be a blessing to the world, to go and make disciples. Will you do that today? Will you tell somebody? Man, you could just tell them the story of John chapter 9. Tell them about the man who was born blind, that the God of the universe stepped into his life and healed him. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tonight is a 1031 night. That's a night that we as a church body are out in the community doing whatever we do for the glory of God. I can't think of a better time. Friends, family, the restaurant you go to, tell somebody about Jesus. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are so good, and we come before you this morning with just heaps and heaps and heaps of thanksgiving and praise. Because in your Son, Jesus, we have an opportunity to be reconciled to you. Jesus, I thank you so much that you were willing to come, that you were willing to display the glory of God. Would you help us today to put our trust in you? Holy Spirit, would you search us and would you know us? Would you reveal if there might be any wicked way in us? Turn our hearts and eyes towards you. Empower us to trust you, Jesus, I pray. May we, as your church, as your people, declare to the world around us, I once was blind, now I see. Let me tell you how I see. In Jesus' name I pray.